Be'ez Hashem Yisbach, we begin Peg Shneim Asa, the 12th chapter in the Rambam's Hilchos Ritzecha Shmiras Nefesh, the laws of a murderer and of protecting one's life and the saving the Zikin Book of Damages, which were in the second half of those halachas, continuing regarding things that are prohibited because of the danger involved, and also regarding the halachas of not causing a stumbling block for someone else, which could cause them also challenges. And the Rambam gives halacha off regarding the danger to one's life regarding specific foods. Behema Chaya Oif, domestic or wild animal or bird, and the shachan anachash or koyitzboy, that was bitten by a snake or similar creatures, or if it ate the poison that could kill a person, before it got a chance to change in the animal's body, so it's like the poison is still very much present over there. So forbidden to eat those animals, because of the danger to one's life, which one would get secondhand that poison. Therefore, so if any one of these animals are found with their legs cut off, although that does not make the animal into treif, and it would not be forbidden because of laws of kashrus, but it's dangerous because of the laws of danger, because maybe one of those venomous creatures bit them, until you check. Now, kids, how do you check these animals to see if they were bitten or not? So after you shechted, you roast them in the oven. If the flesh does not just come cut off, I mean, it doesn't fall down to pieces, and it's not any different than all other roasted meats, then it's permitted, because if not, something would happen to the meat as you were roasting it. Halacha base. Let's say there are holes in Te'enim and the figs, but not in the grapes, but Kishum and the Zekin, and the gourds, and the watermelons, and the cucumbers. Even if they're very large, and the holes on one side, you're not allowed to eat even from the other side. Whether they're detached or they're attached. Even if they were in a vessel. As long as it has moisture, which then the moisture of the poison could get mixed into the moisture of the food item and it could mix throughout. And you find that it was bitten into, us, it's going to be forbidden. Because maybe a snake or similar types of venomous creatures bit into it. Now, even if you see a bird or a mouse sitting and pecking at it, is still forbidden. Let me say, well, they're the one who made the hole. No, maybe in the place where the hole was already there, they also now are making hole, and therefore it's not evidence that it wasn't there before, and therefore it'd still be forbidden because maybe a snake bit into it. Halacha gimel. Te'ena, a fig, or a grape, shenitel oikat shalem, where their stem was removed. So although there's like a hole there now, indentation, which could get into the moisture part, that's not concerned about being left uncovered. Therefore, when a person can eat figs and grapes at night time, it doesn't have to be concerned. It's not considered like that of a hole. Tain in the kudu tree of Shem, regarding a fig that had a hole that dried up, and it became like a dried fig. With tamar in the kudu tree of Shem, regarding a date that dried up, that had a hole, they're both permitted. Halacha dal, that continues regarding the danger to one's life, now from objects. It's forbidden for a person to put money or coins into his mouth. Because it might have on that money dried spittle shamuki shchin, from those who are smitten with boils and mitzvah with leprosy, which could be transmitted through the liquid in one's body. Or it might have sweat on it. Because any sweat of a person is the potion of death, except for the sweat from a person's face. But all the sweat, it's dangerous for one to put in his mouth because it might have that sweat on it. Halacha hei, a person should not put the palm of his hand underneath his armpit, because maybe he touched on the hand of a mitzayr, or some type of a wicked poison. Because his hands are very busy and you might have touched your things, now you're putting it in a very vulnerable place under the armpit. So the person should not put the cook dish beneath the couch where he's reclining. Even though he's busy right now in his meal time, because something that's dangerous might fall into it. But when you're right, he's not going to see it because it's underneath the couch, and therefore don't put it there. The person should not stick a knife into an esrog or into the radish, because the person might fall on the pointy part of the blade, and he might die. The person not allowed to walk beneath a slanty wall, or a gesher, or a shaky bridge, or the kanzachuba, to walk into a dilapidated building. All these other types of things because of dangers, us lavim coming, one's forbidden to walk by those areas. Halacha Zayin contains regarding danger to one's life as it relates to a non-Jew. So it's forbidden for a Jew to be secluded with Gentiles, because they are suspect regarding spilling blood. And therefore you should not escort with them and travel with them on the road. What happens if a person encounters a Gentile as he's traveling on the road? So you should put him to the right of the Jew. Because it's very easy, it's easier to protect oneself with one's right side, with his right hand, than on his left side. Let's say they were going up a hill. They're going down the hill. So the Jew should never be on the bottom and the Gentile higher up. Rather, the Jew should be higher up and the Gentile should be lower down. So depending if you're going up and down, which way it is, if who's in front, who's in back, but the Jew should always be higher. Because the Gentile, if he's higher, might throw himself down on the Jew to kill him. And he gets that advantage. Also, he shouldn't bend down in front of him. He might smash his skull when he's bending down. Now, if the non-Jew asks the Jew, where are you going to? He should say that the destination is much further than it really is. Like Yaakov expanded his official destination to Esav. Like it says in the Pasuk in Bereishis, until I come to my master in Seir. Which really says Yaakov only went to Sukkot. He didn't go to Seir, but he said he's going to go there so that in case he wants to harm him, he's going to think he'll wait till they get off the train. And truth is, he's getting off at an earlier stop and he's not going to be ready for that. Halacha Taz continues regarding getting treatment, medicine from a non-Jew. It's forbidden to take medical treatment from a Gentile. Unless they gave up all hope from living. Where then, okay, you have nothing to lose anyway. But for us, it's forbidden to get treatment from someone who is a denier in the Torah, even if they give up hope from him living. And the reason for that is because, to the contrary, if he actually lives, they might be drawn after his false beliefs, and this Jew who became healed might become a heretic. Now it is permitted to take medical treatment from a Gentile for the animal, veterinarian, or to a wound that's in the body, on the external, on the outside, which has no danger to one's life, could go look more like a compress or a tea and like a bandage. But if it was a wound that's dangerous even on the outside of one's body, it's forbidden to take it from the apicaris. It's forbidden to take this from the non-Jew let's say unless you're giving up hope. Now, any wound that one would be allowed to desecrate Shabbos for, I mean, I'll get healing from them again, because that's obviously considered a sakanas nefashos. Halacha yod, meaning that type of thing of healing, which is not a makar shachutz, that's forbidden to be healed from a Gentile, again, elim ken nesoshim in the shayichim. Halacha yod, mutal lishal l'roifei goy, but you're allowed to make a consult and ask the non-Jewish doctor, and v'yemelech to tell him, sam plein yavlecha v'kach v'kach tasa, and the non-Jewish doctor tells him, okay, this and this medicine is good for you, and this you should do for treatment. You shouldn't take it exactly from him. And the reason for that is because if the Gentile is not really, he's not getting the treatment from him, he's just asking, the non-Jew is going to understand he doesn't really rely on him. And he knows he's for sure going to ask get another, second opinion from another doctor. And therefore, he's not going to tell him anything back because he doesn't want to ruin his reputation. So actually, then you could actually rely on him. Halacha Yud Aleph. Bustle is stopping mehem b'shos yachad. Those who have been to get a haircut from a Gentile in the private domain. Because he might kill him with the blade or the scissor or the razor, whatever it is that he's using. Now, if the Jew was a distinguished personality, it's permitted because he's afraid to kill him. And even if he appears to the Gentile, like as if he's a distinguished personality, where he's looking in the mirror to make sure it was a good haircut, and he's thinking, oh, this must be a very respected personality, so that he should be afraid of him and not kill him. He's a mutal stop him, and then again, if he thinks, then it's also going to be permitted to take a haircut from him. Halacha Beis continues regarding reselling weapons. Asalim kalagoyim kolklei Muhammad, forbidden to sell to Gentiles all types of weapons where they might use it to harm the Jews. And you can't even sharpen for them their weapons. You can't sell to them loisaka, not knives, or loikalorin, not chains that are used to tie up the prisoners, loichabom shabarzel, neither the iron chains that are used to chain the legs, and neither iron chains from India, which this iron is distinct to make weapons from them, neither can you sell them bears and lions, neither anything that can be caused to harm the public. Aval mechlem treason, but you're allowed to sell them shields. Shin mil hagin is just to protect, and it's only defensive and not offensive. Halacha yigimel k'shem she'asul limker legoy, just like you're not sell to a gentile. Kach asul limker liyisrael she'mechel legoy, so you're not sell to the middleman Jew who he's going to sell to a gentile. But umut limker klei zayin, you're allowed to sell weapons l'chayil shabnei hamadina to the army of that country. And they shame again, because they actually protect the Jewish inhabitants of that country. Lachi Dalit continues regarding a related idea of that there shouldn't come harm to another person through you. What's called lifnei evil isit michshel. So kol shalim kli guy, whatever is forbidden to sell to a gentile, shalim kli yisrael shul listem, now sell to a Jew who are bandits. And they shame nimtza mechzigat oivrei aveda machshel, because it comes out that you're supporting those who sin and you're causing him to stumble. Which, so therefore, that's where it segues with weapons and lifnei iver. And l'chein kol ha-machshel iver b'davar. And so to anyone who causes stumbling to a blind person, not necessarily blind, but blind in this thing, and v'siu eitzah shein agenz, and you give him counsel which is not appropriate, or he's supporting the person who sins, shu iver, where in that sense he's blind, v'in aroi derech ha-emes, he does not see the path of truth, because of the lust of his heart. It is even but to say the one who is making him, causing him to stumble, is violating negative prohibition, like it says in the pasuk, can be equal, but if an evil is mikshel in front of the blind, one should not put a stumbling block. Someone comes to take counsel from you, hagen is law, you have to give him counsel that's appropriate for him. That's forbidden to give good counsel for a gentile or for a wicked slave. And even if it's for counsel for him to do a dvar mitzvah, but he maintains his wickedness, us it's forbidden. And actually, Danil was not tested by being thrown into the lion's den. Only because he gave counsel, which is good counsel, the Nebuchadnezzar, to give charity. Daniel, Lahain Malka, O King, Milki Yishbalach, let my counsel be good in your eyes. Which, and because he gave the Eitzah Teiva for the Rasha, therefore, actually, that's what he's punished for. But everyone else, one is not supposed to give bad counsel for, and that's the Issa of Lifnei Iver, and that's even to assist him in what he's doing bad, like we said regarding the selling of the weapons, where you're assisting the Jew who is a bandit by selling him the weapons, you're an accomplice to the crime, that's considered, yeah, that's related to that of Lifnei Iver, not to cause someone else to stumble by assisting them in their evil ways.